What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
LaFondra looking to get cross side of Font. LaFondra away from Davis. 3-1 running. 3 points running.
Hello and welcome to the Unpot Rules podcast, sponsored by Blue Collar Street Food. Reading FC yesterday mauled by the Tigers. 3-0 defeat. We didn't actually have to put up with that chant, thankfully. But safe, at least, finally, from relegation, as safety is confirmed. I've been joined today by three fans who were at the game yesterday. Paul, your first game back watching the Royals for a little while now. How was it?
Oh, shit, wasn't it? there's no point denying it. If you go travel all that way and you lose 3-0, it wasn't great. But we stayed up. That's all that matters.
Also been joined by Matt Lansley. Matt, another away defeat to add to your collection.
Another to add to that collection, the ever-expanding one. And unfortunately, we did have to witness you getting mauled by the Tigers. They did it just before we nearly scored. I think it was the Morrison chance. So unfortunately, that was pulled out, unfortunately. I felt like leaving at that point.
That's disappointing. You've made my day even worse yesterday now. And first appearance on the podcast, also been joined by Jamie Hodder. Jamie, how are you feeling this morning?
All right, gents. Just basically the same as what you guys have said, really. Glad the season's over. Another dire performance, really. And it just sums up the season, doesn't it, really?
Pretty much. Let's be honest. Everything in the season was summed up yesterday. Just was miserable. Yet somehow it worked out.
Yeah.
Let's look back at yesterday anyway, because it was a big day relatively in the season, given that we did stay up. Paul, before the game, team news came out 2 o'clock, and we started with the same starting lineup as Monday's draw against Swansea. I thought this was a little bit confusing, given Ince's comments after the game on Monday. What were your thoughts to the starting lineup?
Yeah, especially saying that he got it wrong, didn't he? Essentially, after the game against Swansea. Really starting TDB in midfield, defensive, that's not going to work, is it? It didn't work against Swansea. He got away with that, essentially, with all the late drama that happened there. Just put Lauren back into that position. Play Ovi Ejaria on that left-hand side, but I don't understand what he's doing with that one. There must be something going on with his contract or something for him to play, because Lawrence clearly a much better player in that position, but it happened. And as we'll talk about the first goal, it didn't pan out well at all for that decision.
Yes, the first goal was definitely one which we'll be discussing. Jamie, is there any changes you would have made except, well, I mean, would you have also wanted TDB to come out of the lineup yesterday?
Not necessarily. I think he's shown at times this year he can get on the ball and make things happen. So maybe he could have even just swapped Lauren and Deli Bashiri around.
It's probably the move I would have made, just swapping them around.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't need that to he be didn't, anything didn't crazy, try that. Did it?
But yeah, we would. Yeah, probably would have just been that, really. The team obviously battled back on Monday, so you would have thought maybe spirits are high a little bit. But as Paul said, after Ince comes out and said, well, I chose the wrong team, you wouldn't expect a manager who's trying to get himself a contract somewhere to go and do the same again.
Yeah, I got to agree. It was weird to see those comments on Monday and then just end up with the same starting lineup. And ultimately, let's be honest, the first half wasn't a stellar performance. No. Matt, I would say the first 30 minutes was maybe the most dull 30 minutes of football I've ever watched, with neither team really having any quality at all, unable to keep the ball for more than 20 seconds.
It was certainly up there. And I think there wasn't even a shot until I think we had a chance from Lauren, or there might have been one just before from Hull. But I mean, it was just dire. Like, I mean, it was almost like your typical end of season game. Both teams know that they're safe and they're just, you know, playing out the rest of the season. But the thing was, Reading weren't safe. You know, at that point, you know, there was still something to play for. There was still, you know, a chance to get a win. You know, I think they were the worst home team in the league. I think Hull, you know, they really aren't great at home. You know, it was a good opportunity, but it was just the slowest, most lethargic, apathetic kind of performance, really, that I think we've seen under Ince, under any manager, quite frankly. It was dire. It was just dire. And to be, I was falling asleep. I think there was a chat with horse racing on in front, which was more exciting, really, than the game at that point.
Yeah, the 3:30 at Sandown, I think it was a exhilarating watch with the guy in front of us.
That was intense. That was definitely more entertaining, actually.
I don't think he won his £5 bet, but you know, it was an interesting watch at the very least. But yeah, the football, it was crap, wasn't it? You could tell that was two teams who were really at the bottom of the table, Jamie.
Yeah, definitely. It almost felt like Reading knew they were safe. That's kind of Matt kind of touched on. They thought at some point we're going to get the news come through that Forest are a couple goals up and it's, you know, season's over. And yes, okay, we had that chance of Lauren, who probably should have scored, and that might have changed the entire game. But yeah, that first kind of half an hour was just, yeah, it was boring, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, boring, I think, sums up. The first chance, Paul, came to Reading. I mean, there was, as Matt touched on, a couple of half chances, but we'll move swiftly on, I think, to the first major chance of the game, which Junior Hoylett with a cross from the left-hand side, and Josh Laurent gets a header from maybe 6 yards out, and it is a free header. It wasn't a simple chance, but he's got to be disappointed that he hasn't done better here. He's headed it straight at the keeper.
Also with no power at all, and he's not put it in either corner, has he? He was disappointed straight away after he actually headed the ball. He knows that he should do better there. It's not one of those ones where he's definitely going to score. It's not a simple header and just a tap in. Maybe if your striker, Lucas Jow, maybe might have scored that one. I mean, but he has missed them as well, so it's not impossible. Yeah, frustrating. If we take the lead there, you never know. It could have been a totally different match. But unfortunately, with Reading, you've also seen us take the lead many times this season and give it away, so you're not quite sure. But you feel with Hull City's home record that could have been a big moment there. And we kind of like had a little spell for 3 or 4 minutes when we created a few chances. There was another one for Lucas Jow just afterwards, which was a much tougher one. But then we get counted on completely, or just dispossessed there from TDB, and he's got to do better there, Alex, hasn't he?
Yeah, so the first goal, 40 minutes in, and Reading have a throw-in pretty much on the centre circle line, halfway line, and it comes across into midfield, and ball comes across to TDB in the centre circle, and he's very slow on the ball. And the TDB in the first half yesterday, Matt, was just extremely slow on the ball. And in all honesty, he looked worried to put himself on the ball as well. He just gave me the impression that he just didn't want the ball when it came near him. He ended up giving the ball away, and we'll touch, I mean, take us through the rest of the goal.
Yeah, I mean, he just seemed quite lost, really, and positionally, you know, it's not his natural position, I don't think. I think he likes playing further forward, and it's so evident in kind of his play, because it's all kind of just, it's all backwards. He's looking about. It just doesn't look natural when he's playing there, you know, and he sleeps on the ball, you know. I think it's Honeyman that comes in and takes it off him and just releases. I can't remember the chap's name, number 11 scored two, but like, you know, just released him on the left. And I mean, I don't know where Yeardom is. Yeardom is kind of nowhere to be seen, but if Yeardom was back, it would have been slipped between him and Morrison. But it's just so frustrating watching it, because he takes a good 2-3 touches just on the ball, and he's not going anywhere.
It wasn't a good 3 or 2 touches. That was the problem, wasn't it?
No, well, it's not like it even ran away from him. You know, he's just keeping it in his feet, and he's just looking about, and he has no awareness of what.
Didn't it?
Literally, yeah. And he's got no awareness of what's around him, whether that's communication within the team, whether Drinkwater should give him a call, or one of the centre backs, Morrison being captain behind him, should give him a call. I don't know, but you know, you can't just be standing in the middle of the park, you know, for 2-3 seconds, just standing there doing nothing, not even running anywhere with it, looking for, you know, a pass that it's just dreadful. You know, he's got to speed up his game if that's going to be his position going forward, which again it might evolve at Watford, but yeah, it's not
Nyland on the goal. I think maybe he's got to do a little bit better there. What do you think, Jamie? I mean, I was disappointed to see him concede that at the near post.
I mean, any goalkeeper's going to be upset conceding one from his front post, but credit to the young lad. It was a good strike from a tight angle. He's just hit it as hard as he can, isn't he, really? Probably put it in that one place where the keeper's going to have to react. And Nyland looked set. He looked like he was in a good position, but you know, it'll be disappointing to concede something like that, definitely.
Lewis Palmer looks like a player, though.
He does, so, yeah.
Yeah. I think he's up to 11 goals now this season.
Yeah.
What do we think of Nyland overall? His first couple of games here, I was quite impressed and really quite liked him. And I feel like over the last maybe 3 or 4 games, I'm struggling to really think of many saves that he's actually made. And it feels like he concedes more than he actually is saving. Maybe that's just me, and maybe I'm just remembering the goals here rather than the saves. But I don't know quite if he's, you know, that good. I think
it's going to, or well, it might almost be another Raphael situation, almost with someone like him. That so much of his career, I think he's been a number two. Very few seasons he's actually gone through an entire season as a number one. Even when he obviously came in at Villa, he did kind of come in as the number one, but he then gets a very bad injury, and then the next couple of seasons never really got back into the team. The loans he's had out to the likes of Norwich, Bournemouth, and that never really. I'm not even really sure if he ever really started for them, even, you know. So maybe we're kind of seeing that with Nyland. You know, the back end of Raphael's time at Reading, we definitely saw why Raphael was the number two for so long of his career, because he was never consistent enough. And that's what number one goalkeepers give you. They give you consistency, they give you the reassurance. Which, does Nyland give that to you? I'm not sure. I don't know what you guys think about it.
I think he started off all right, didn't he? As you said, he came for crosses. He was dominant. You could hear him shouting. He was, you know, very vocal. But off the back of that, I think Luke Southwood, he's not really had an experienced goalkeeper training with him over his time here. And I thought that might kind of rub off on him a little bit. So I think it's good to have a keeper with a bit of experience that may help him. Whether or not he's going to be number one next year, who we sign, who knows? We might not have a choice. I think Nyland could do. He could help us a lot. I get what you're saying. It's a few times where he hasn't made many saves, really, and I get what you're saying. But I think his presence around the younger goalkeepers we've got are probably more beneficial than anything else at the minute.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. It's going to be one of those positions where if he signs, ultimately it's not going to be hugely disappointing, but I can also see that there's probably a lot of options out there if we were able to improve the position. Yeah, so we go in 1-0 down at halftime. Our Hull's goal comes on the 40th minute or so. And the ever typical slow start to the second half for Reading FC comes out again here. And it only takes Hull, 6 minutes, I think it is, to score the second goal. Hull get a free kick 40 yards from goal. And it's another set piece conceded, Paul. That counts for number 21 this season for anybody who's
makes you proud, doesn't it? It makes you proud. If you're gonna get like a record, you want to be the top of it, don't you? If you're gonna be really, really bad, let's like absolutely shit out it.
I'm hoping that 1971 have got a chant for this next season.
Yeah. Come on, Jamie and Matt, let's make this happen.
We'll have a think.
I live in hope. Yeah, I'm not going to sing because nobody wants to listen to that. But you get Michael Morrison complaining about a free kick and a foul on him. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't blame him for complaining. That's what he's going to do, isn't it? Straight away.
He does have two hands in the back, though. Like, I mean, some people might put it into the soft category, but there is definite contact there, which knocks him over, and then the ball just bundles off him onto the chap that puts it away. You know, there's definite contact there. Some people might put it down as soft.
Scoring that goal and it was disallowed, Blansley, would you be raging or would you be saying that's fine refereeing?
I'd be raging at the player that's where the number six is that's bundled him over, because it's just stupid. You know, you've put two hands in the back of someone and you've given the ref a decision to make, which on today's occasion he's not made. But
yeah,
many times he would be making, you know, probably a decision there, because he's bundled him over, you know. So
it's good to see you've got such a balanced opinion on this, because I know being at games you are exactly like that. It's good to know.
Yeah,
but now I think it would have been soft, Jamie, and if it was against us, I mean,
yeah, maybe,
I think that essentially we need to defend it better.
Yeah, definitely. You look at them talking about bringing VAR into the championship, and I think it's another one of them. If that happened and the ref had a look, for me, it's not. There's not enough. You've got to be stronger. Hold your man off. Yes, there was definitely hands in the back, but was it enough to make the goal happen? I don't know. The guy that scored, I think, when the initial ball went in, I think he was having his shirt pulled anyway. So actually, you could say it's, you know, it's bad from Redden all over, really.
Yeah, we really need to work on set pieces this pre-season with whoever comes in terms of players and coaches and stuff, because you can't concede 20 set pieces in a season. I mean, how many goals Liverpool have only conceded 22 goals in total? I know it's a different league and stuff. Liverpool
compare us to Liverpool.
I'm not comparing us to Liverpool, but, like, you know, I don't know who's got the best record in the championship in terms of goals this season conceded, but, you know, 22 is just ridiculous, isn't it?
I mean, if we've conceded 85 goals in total and 20 of them have come from a set piece, you know.
One in four goals were conceded from a set piece. Just awful.
Can't really. You've got the worst defensive record in the EFL now.
Yeah. No, I think we're second.
No, Morecambe have worse on 87, but they have played one game more.
Still, there is time.
We've got a game in hand. I mean, like the fact we've conceded 85 in total just tells the story of the season anyway, doesn't it? You know, we've conceded more than Peterborough. How we've actually stayed up with 85 conceded and a 6-point deduction is crazy when you think about it.
It shows that we can score goals, though.
Well, it does. We'll come on to the reason that we stayed up in a bit, I think, because it's definitely a couple. Well, maybe one or two main reasons, I think, but we'll come on to that. The second half, I think Reading were better in the second half going forwards. It was difficult to be much worse than they were in the first half. Let's be honest, Jamie. The second half, once Dele Bashiri came off, pretty much straight after the second goal, Reading put Ajira out wide, who came on, and Tom Ince went into the centre behind Lucas Shaw. And I think we started to connect the play a little bit better going forwards. We looked like we had a little bit more, maybe, purpose when we were trying to attack.
Yeah, again, kind of created a few half chances, didn't we? Again, it looked like we were kind of trying to get forward a bit more. And is that a story of what Ince has installed into us? Almost like our first halves have been quite slow. And let's stay in the game and then try and do something in the second half when teams start to tire. Again, we create a few chances. It changed up a little bit, but I don't think we never really threatened them, you know, time and time again. We didn't have a spell, did we, where we thought, right, we're going to score in a minute. I think it was very stop-start.
Yeah, the ball went across a lot of the box pool, but we didn't necessarily create like a real golden opportunity. We had one pretty good chance for Lucas Shaw. Tom Ince with on the highlights, this looks like a really nice piece of skill for Tom Ince to beat his man. He plays a good free ball before he gets fouled. And Lucas Shaw probably would hope that he would do better with this chance. He's kind of on the edge of the area, one-on-one against the keeper. He probably would have hoped to do better, I think, here.
Yeah, it's not a great connection, is it? It's not exactly where he wants to put it as well. That's a pretty good chance for him. Though we also had one that was much later than that. The one from Morrison from the flick on, but he's stretching to get to that. But I agree with Jamie. There was no point in that second half when I thought, oh, a goal's definitely going to come here. He felt it might if we were a little bit lucky and Hull switched off, which they easily could have done. But it was a struggle, wasn't it? I mean, we looked a little bit better after TDB went off and Ajari came on, but it wasn't a huge transformation. We didn't switch into like prime Reading and think, wow, this is all happening now. It's all guns blazing. It was like someone's got a really, really crap water gun out and it's like hardly got any water in it. And it's just like giving out this small amount of fire. It's rubbish, really. Yeah.
I mean, that momentum against
a classic away day.
Yeah, that momentum against Swansea, kind of, you could see us. We got the second and thought, right, actually, 20 minutes to go, we could get some here. And obviously, then you make a friend. You say, right, there's only one team are going to score now. And that just never came yesterday. And if we'd got one, maybe it would have changed. But we just never looked like.
If Joe scores that chance to bring it back to 2-1, then we've got the momentum.
Maybe kick on, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Second half was do you reckon it was a slow, not slow, slow is maybe the wrong word, but do you reckon that there was an air of kind of job done about the second half, given that Peterborough had gone behind at this point in the first half? And like, it would be stupid to assume that the players didn't know that Peterborough were behind at half time.
I think the reaction of the players at full time tells me that they didn't know that result, because they looked really. They were being applauded by sections of the fan. Not every single fan was applauding, because we'd know, obviously heard the result from Peterborough, but they looked absolutely done. They looked kind of, they looked really awkward. It was like, we've just lost 3-0 here and we're getting applauded. This is really weird. We don't deserve this, which is fair enough. I can't disagree with that, but I think they were being applauded by people for the efforts in the last 2 months, which is fair enough. I understand that. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, totally agree. I think you're right. Nail on the head, saying it awkward. They kind of stood along the 18-yard line and just stood there and give a half, you know, little half-hearted clap, thanks for your support kind of thing. They had to know, didn't they? Surely. The way that some fans were, you know, chanting, "We are staying up," and that, they had to know. So you'd have thought, come over and ask. What happened? We'll tell you. They lost. Peterborough lost. We're staying up. Happy days.
But see you all on Saturday, lads. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Yeah, move on. Season's done. You're on the beach anyway, so let's crack on.
as we did say at the top of the podcast, we did lose 3-0, not 2-0. So we'll briefly touch on the third goal. It comes in injury time, 92nd minute. 92nd, maybe even later than that.
I think it was like the last kick of the game, I think, almost. It was.
Yeah, it's a goal which basically shows Michael Morrison's lack of pace, let's be honest. Because the ball just goes over the top of him and he can't catch, is it Lewis Potter again?
Yeah.
And it's Reading are pushing to try and get some kind of consolation at this point. And Matt, Morrison's lack of pace, lack of stamina, maybe showing up there. I think it was kind of similar on Monday against Swansea, because you could tell on Monday he was done by 90 minutes. And I don't know whether yesterday was the same, but Does he still have like 90 minutes in his legs, do you reckon?
Possibly, but I don't think at championship level. You know, I think he's been a good servant to us the last few years. You know, he stood in as captain, you know, this final half season. But is he going to be here next season? I doubt it. You know, he's getting into, I mean, he's only about 33, I think, 33, 34, but you know, I think, like I say, I think the goal yesterday kind of just shows up kind of his inabilities kind of thing. I mean, it's a very good pass and run by Hull, and Potter playing on the shoulder. You know, Morrison is almost, you know, facing him up and's got a turn. But, you know, surely a player Morrison's, you know, experience has got to know. You can't be facing one way and then expect to turn around and catch someone like Potter. You know, you've got to be almost half on the turn already before that ball's played, because you know that's coming and you know you've got a player on your shoulder, and that's kind of where the gap between the two of them comes from. And obviously Morrison, he's never going to make that up. You know, not many centre backs are going to make up that gap, you know, when you've got Potter running in the way. So,
and it's an easy enough finish from Potter. The game ends literally seconds later, and as Paul and Jamie have touched on, the players came over at the end. Reading fans, let's be honest, it was a half-hearted celebration from the away end that we were staying up.
Some wanted to get into it, others didn't really.
Yeah, there was a bit though. I think to say there wasn't a bit of a celebration wouldn't be true, because there was.
No, it was half-hearted. Yeah. I think it wasn't the whole away end in massive ruptures or anything. But there was, you know, as
would it,
you both said, would Paul it, and Jamie, it was like a. There was maybe, I don't know, but there was a few people applauding the players for staying up. There was a couple of chants of "we are staying up," but it wasn't the party scenes that you might have expected potentially for after Good Friday and Easter Monday.
What it really reminded me of was a few seasons back under Clark, when we stayed up under Clark. You know, I think it was Doncaster away. I think it was Doncaster away. We'd lost like 2-1. It was either Doncaster or Rotherham, is one of the two. we'd stayed up and it was two, but we'd lost 2-1 and it was just like, well, stayed up another season, you know. But I mean, like, I think it'd be wrong to kind of say that. I think a lot of people were kind of frustrated at full time, probably a lot more that weren't there were frustrated full time because it's another loss, another 3-0 loss. But let's be honest, when you look at it in the context of things, if people had said when Ince had come in, we would have been safe with two games to go, everyone would have snapped your hand off at that, you know, because back in January, I pretty much resigned to the fact that we're likely going to be playing in League One.
Yeah, totally. And I think the fact that we've had a 6-point deduction, we've had Lucas Jow out for virtually half the season, and we stayed up with two games to go. People will say, oh, we've been lucky because of Derby having the 21 points. Obviously, that is a huge factor, but we'd be above Birmingham anyway, as it stands. So we wouldn't actually be in the bottom three. So I think we've done pretty well, considering we also lost. Well, we lost how many players did we lose in the African Cup of Nations? We lost
I think pretty well is a bold statement. I'm not sure.
No. I know. Honestly, I think we have. I'm quite happy to say that when I've seen players themselves coming out saying the fact is you've had two wins and it's been wiped off. It's just, we all know we've criticised the mental strength of our squad and our team for the last few years, but actually they've come through it. That's why I was saying when we got a 6-point deduction instead of 9, I think if it had been 9, we'd have gone down. I think that would have been too much of a blow to us, because there would have been points when I think we would have been in the bottom three. That's much tougher when you actually have to fight out of it than actually stay away from it just about, because Derby would have been above us at some point and that would have helped them mentally as well. I mean, we'll never know. But I think we've done okay. We haven't lit the world alight. But yeah, I think we have done okay.
So what we're saying here, Paul, is credit to Dayong Pang, because he's managed to keep us in the division by negotiating only a 6-point deduction rather than 9 or 12.
We're saying no credit to Dayong Pang.
I think you're right, Paul. You look at where we were kind of after that Coventry game, the 150 celebration, if you want to call it that. And you look at where the fans were. And I think Matt's right. I think we all kind of thought that's it. That we're finished here. We're not coming back from this. And then maybe the Preston game kind of reignited us, kicked us on a bit. But yeah, I think it's right. We have stayed up and we've kind of done an okay job, because we have had a half decent run of form. May not have played well, but at this stage of the season, it's all about results, isn't it?
Two defeats in the last day. That's not that disastrous, is it?
Yeah.
We've had some decent results against teams at the top of the table. We got the draw at Bournemouth. We beat Sheffield United. That's not that bad. But the problem is we just don't look convincing. But the next question is, Alex, are we going to be Ince out in, shake it all about, get someone else in, get like Kingsley Roll in, take over? Who knows? He might do as good a job. We're not quite sure, are we now?
No one's really sure. I think I've made my mind up now. I'm not for it at all. The comments after the game yesterday just infuriated me completely. The comment around the fans won't go home disappointed today was just ridiculous. It's so short-sighted. It comes across as just completely naive. And it comes across as to someone who hasn't been here all season. We've been watching all season, and we've lost how many games now? I don't know how many it is. It must be 20, 23. We're going to have lost over half our league games this season by the end of the season. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be disappointed if we go up to Yorkshire and lose 3-0 again and concede 3 goals. Like, whether we stayed up or not, it's still a pretty crap experience as a fan.
I would also though make a counter argument for someone like Paul Ince, who was pretty much like the appointment was mocked by not just Reading fans, but, you know, fans across the league. If you're Paul Ince, that is a bit of like a middle finger to all those doubters kind of out there, because it is because, you know, managers are like that, you know, because he was pretty much written off when he came into the job. People were saying, Paul Ince, he's been out of the job 8 years. He's that loony that said he could do a better job than, you know, Van Gaal and that United, you know, to appoint him as United boss. You know, everyone was mocking him at the start. And to be fair, at the end of the day, he's pulled us well away from relegation. We haven't just stumbled to relegation. or to safety, sorry, we've actually done relatively well. This isn't like under Gomez, when we were very lucky that season that there were dreadful teams. Like, it was, you know, we have pulled away and we are very easily safe.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an argument to be made that Paulins has done a reasonable job when you look at results. But when Paunovic was sacked, and like Jamie and Paul, if you disagree with me, please say, when Paunovic was sacked, the overriding sentiment amongst Reading fans was, I don't care who comes in because anybody could do a better job. Ultimately, yeah, Paulins has done a better job, but couldn't anybody have done a better job with the team that we've had in the last 10 games than Paunovic has had? Like, it's, I'm not here to defend Paunovic in his position and like how he did, but Ince has had a fully fit squad. Look at the bench yesterday. It's better than some of the lineups that we had to.
Better, but he's still not fully fit. He's been without Swift for the last few weeks. You know, Rinomota, midfield has been out for.
Like, Ince has been saying that he's down to their bare bones. And it's like, it's not. It's a pretty good
squad. Yeah, but you're comparing it to something that was particularly bad, though.
Yeah.
He used the comparison when it was really extreme, like the Fulham game when we had, you know, basically the academy team playing at the back, and it was really quite grim.
And that ultimately, think, that's what people are going to judge and remember Paunovic about.
Yeah, I know they will for this season, but that's not fair on Ince to compare him like a situation that's really extreme. You don't have that.
Because Ince has still had key players out, you know, Mate as well, elongated time. Yes, Mate was out under Paunovic, but, you know, it's not like he's had a fully fit squad. You know, Holmes is out again. You know, it's not
fully fit. No, I agree. That's
better. That's fair. But
I think his comments come across just a bit short sighted. That's probably my main takeaway from yesterday. Paul, where are you on the Paulins scale? Are you Paulins in, Paulins out, Paulins kind of just in the middle? Don't really know.
Oh, God, I want to have an opinion on it, a strong one, but really, I'm just thinking, can we get anyone better than Paulins? I'm not sure we can. Do I think Paul Ince is the answer? Long term, no, he probably isn't. So I'm stuck. Which way do I go? Because without knowing the ins and outs of all the finances, which appear to be completely screwed again next season, obviously we still have the restrictions and it gets even worse in many ways. All the players will be leaving. Who else are we going to attract? Is it 14 players out of contract? And some really huge ones leaving. I don't know realistically who else we're going to get. I mean, listening to the interview after the match, I wasn't totally convinced that Paul Ince was wanting to stay as well. It was a bit like, I might stay if I was offered it, but I've actually done an okay job here. If you're Paul Ince, what do you do? Do you move away now and then on your CV it says, I kept him up? Or do you kind of carry on and next season it turns into a disaster, Jamie, because I'm not sure which way to go. It's like sitting on the fence, which is the worst case in a podcast, but I just obviously don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think does he walk away? I mean, looking at some of his comments, you think probably not. He's probably too proud to walk away. But he's coming and done the job and that's all he wanted to do. So actually probably it's better for him to walk away. So look, I've gone into a club, it was a mess. They wanted to stay up. I've kept them up. What else, you know, what more can I do? People may have seen my comments on social media that I was probably a bit dramatic, actually, a couple of weeks ago, saying that if Paul Ince is given the job, I won't get a season ticket for the first time in 20-odd years. But I think he can't stay, can he? And who comes in and does a better job is obviously a $1 million question, but I just don't think he's improved us enough to warrant the job. He's come in and done the job, fine, but the football hasn't been better. We're still conceding goals, you know?
But the big question is, will the Hodder be there next season if Ince is in?
Of course it will be. I need to get tickets for shooting away, probably. So I need my season ticket plus points.
Points.
what I would say, though, for the Paul Ince argument of staying or like staying and going, the one advantage that, you know, Paul Ince staying would give you is an upper foot on, you know, the contract negotiation situation of the players to stay for next season and negotiating contracts. He's already got the relationship with the players. He's already got, you know, and to be fair, we had this conversation. I made a comment on social media as well about, you know, games like yesterday makes you think how many of these team, how many players from this team do you actually want to re-sign next year, because it's more of the same. You know, we're going to still be re-signing these like seemingly overhyped, underperforming players. Like, how many of these do you want? But Paul Ince will at least give you...
At some point, it's probably just a bit fun to have a squad refresh as well. Like, how long have some of these players been here now? And as you say, Matt, like, overhyped, underperformed for 4 or 5 seasons, some of them. Like, it's...
I think it's a good squad.
I'm not saying I want them all to leave, but...
No. I think it is a good squad individually, like, as players there. You've got good players in there. Like, they've shown they can play well, but you need to be performing at that level 25 times a season. Have a couple of sloppy ones, but, you know, you need to be really good in this league for a real long period of time. Otherwise, you know, you're in the bottom 10 and you don't get out of that. 3 or 4 wins can get you from relegation fodder to the playoffs, but you need to be consistent. And I think that's what we've really lacked over the last couple of years.
I think we got 3 key players. We got Yedden, Swift, and Jao. If they're all playing okay and at a decent level, we're absolutely fine in the Championship. But the problem is, quite often, at least 2 of those are injured. Or you've got issues then, haven't you? You've got to have more than 3 players. I mean, I'm sure there is. Like, that's harsh. But Josh Lauren has, you know, he's definitely come on in the last month or so, but probably hasn't had his best season. There's probably a whole multitude of reasons for that. It's not as straightforward as just...
He blows hot and cold, doesn't he, Josh Lauren? Let's be honest. Like, for every good game that you see out of him, you also see a bad one.
He's scored some vital goals, though.
Yeah,
he has not yet that. You know, that goal against Blackburn was huge.
To compare it to last year, though, when him and Reno were together, and we were a different side, weren't we? Okay, we still didn't play amazingly well, but we knew how we were going to set up. And so they can do it, and he can play well. But no, you're right. He's very been hit and miss, isn't he?
Really. I definitely want to see him back here next season, though. Because 100%. I don't think any of us would want to see Josh Lauren leave the club. I mean, we want him here, don't we?
Yeah, 100%.
The comments he's made have been very in favour of Paul Ince. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Paul Ince, if Paul Ince stays, which players decide to stay because Paul Ince is here. And if Paul Ince goes, it's going to be interesting to see which players might stay because they've been offered a deal which is, you know, comparable to other deals they might get. We'll have to see. It's going to be a very long summer, though, I think, as a Reading fan, watching these transfers, mainly out, let's be honest, but also coming in. And it wouldn't surprise me if we end up doing a lot of our deals at the end of the transfer window again, and we are near the bottom of the table at the start of the season, unfortunately. But that is a problem for another time. This season, at the very least, we've managed to stay up. We've got 2 games left. Met West Brom at home on Saturday. Luton away the following. I want to say it's on Saturday, but I don't really know.
Sunday. Always the last game of the season, Sunday. Come on.
I actually think it is Saturday this year, though.
Is it? No. Surely not after I've just...
I know.
It's the weekend after.
Yeah.
I'm not too bothered. I've got time to find out. Matt, how many points are we going to get in those 2 games? And will we finish above anybody else in the table? Can we finish above anybody else in the table still? I think we can just about finish our game, can't we, still?
Yeah, we can finish just above Birmingham, but we need to win both games, which... To be fair, Luton, by that time, will probably have nothing to play for. They'll probably be safe in the playoffs. West Brom are dreadful. West Brom are really, really bad. Like, I mean, next week is a really good just chance for the team to really just finish this season at home on a kind of on an okay note. If Paul Ince really wants to get fans on side, next week against West Brom, you know, a team 13th at the moment that have their own kind of in-house kind of fighting between fans not liking Steve Bruce, you know, the setup and everything they've got there. It's a really good chance for the team to go out at home on a high. You know, what we don't want is another Ipswich from a few years ago. You know, Preston at home, you know, we just want a good final performance at home. Can we get a win there? Fingers crossed. Luton, who knows? Like, hopefully, for all those many that are there with loads of loyalty points.
we'll see with Luton. They've had a good season, so we'll see. We will be back during the week. We'll be back during the week on Thursday or Friday with a preview of the West Brom game from Jacob.
Can I also mention that Oxford will not be going up, which gives me deep joy. Gives me deep joy.
Yet another season we will not be playing Oxford United in the league.
They'd have taken six off us anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the worry.
But probably not a bad thing necessarily, given how next season might turn out. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Join us again during the week when we'll be previewing the West Brom game. And Jacob will be speaking to somebody from the Midlands, I would be assuming. And, yeah, look forward to speaking to you all very soon. Cheers.